Harihi Om Sahanavavatu Sahanau Bhunaktu Sahavirayankaravavahai Tejasvinavaditamastuma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. So now in chapter 22, Into the Forest, then in discussing with Vidura, then Dhritarashtra's, you know, because he's a little bit afraid now, like that, because they've given everything back, and he was already saying that's not enough for what they've insulted the wife, and that, and what, how badly they behaved. Now, again, they've taken everything away and sent to the forest, and still it remains that they insulted the wife. Because Duryodhana considered, okay, well, you know, that one went, and so now this is a new thing. But the insulting of the wife won't go away. That just remains. And so then, now again, they're piling on top. And so Dhritarashtra is a little worried. So he's heard how everybody left and what they were doing. And so he's wondering, why are they doing this? Because it sounds a little, you know, strange or ominous. Intrigued by this description, Dhritarashtra inquired further, tell me why they assume these various guises. Then this is Vidura. Although your sons persecuted him and deprived him of his kingdom by foul means, the wise Dhammaraj has not deviated from the path of virtue. Thus he covered his face, thinking, I may consume innocent citizens by looking at them with eyes made fearsome by anger. Right? Because he is a religious person. You know, he does everything by Dharma, no matter what. But because again they've done that, and they're just so irreligious, and Dhritarashtra allows this to happen, even though he's being respected as their superior. He's just so angry about all this that he's worried that common citizens, because they'll walk now through the street, the common citizens, the anger in his eyes, it might disturb them. As it is, Kshatriyas are hard to look at because they're so strong and their eyes are so piercing. You know, it's like bulls. It said like bull eyes. That's what they're, you know. So that's why only the Kshatriya women are so strong they can handle that. But the common person might be, how you say, very disturbed, you know. So that explains him. Bhima strode forth from the city, repeatedly stretching his arms and thinking how none could equal him in strength. He desires to do to his enemies acts worthy of those arms. So in other words, the arms, no one can equal him in strength, so he should do something, you know, valorous in connection with that. You know, in other words, kill all of 100 sons of Dhritarashtra. Arjuna, who is capable of drawing his bow with both hands, you know, that means he can shoot equally well either way. Because when you're traveling in a chariot, you know, you're standing in the one place, and so you pull your bow, you always shoot at an angle, right? Because, you know, you don't want to shoot off the head of your driver or something like that. So at an angle. So then he can pull this way and shoot, but he can also switch hands and pull the other way. So that's unique to him. Others, they shoot this way, then they have to turn and shoot that way. Arjuna doesn't. He can shoot here and immediately shoot there. Because you shot here, you're going to go back here to grab the string. You can just as easily grab the bow and switch hands and grab the other string, and then it's this way. Like that. And then that's why he has two quivers. You know, so that when he's shooting this way, he pulls them out this way. And when he's shooting the other way, he pulls out this way. That's why two. Everyone else uses one. Arjuna was capable of drawing his bow with both hands, scattered sands to symbolize the countless arrows he will let loose in battle. So he's just taking sand and throwing, you know, like this, and just imagining who he's, you know, killing and all that. Sahadev smeared his face, thinking, none should recognize me in this hour of calamity. The incomparably handsome Nakula covered himself with ashes, thinking, I should not steal the hearts of women as I walk exposed along the public highway. Because now they're just going in their deer skins and all that, so they don't have on all the robes and everything. So they'll be, you know, quite bare-chested in that. So he doesn't want anybody be distracted. Hearing of Bhima and Arjuna's fury, right? Because Yudhishthira, it's a matter of Dharma, the other two also. But those two are thinking war. The blind king became even more fearful, as he should. What would become of Duryodhana and his brothers now? Dhritarashtra listened with growing concern as Vidura continued his description, because they're not done yet. Because he also asked about Donya and Draupadi. The chaste Draupadi, attired in a single piece of cloth, her hair bedraggled due to Dushasana's touch, went along saying, "The wives of those who reduced me to this plight will, in 14 years from now, lament as I am lamenting, bereft of their husbands and sons. They will enter the city by this road, having offered oblations of water to their dead relatives at the river." So the gate they're going out is the one that they will use to go to the river there. And so I think Jamuna is there. So they'll go there and offer their all the tarpanas and everything. And then they'll go back by this. So she's saying, we're going out, and just like I'm like this, you know, in this case with my hair, you know, one piece of cloth and lamenting and my hair loose and all that. In 14 years, all the wives of those who did, which means Duryodhana and all his brothers and everyone else, they'll be doing the same thing. O Dhritarashtra, the learned and self-controlled Donya, holding blades of kusha grass pointed south, uttered the Samaveda thinking, when all the Kauravas are killed, the priests will sing these same mantras. So he was singing the Samaveda mantras for the dead, like that. What at a funeral ceremony, what you'll chant, he was chanting those. He was saying just like this, the priests of the Kauravas, after they've all been killed, will be down there at the Jamuna chanting these mantras. Vidura told the king how Hastinapur's citizens were condemning the Kuru chiefs and wailing with sorrow. Right? So he didn't ask about the people, but now he's telling them, and the people don't like you. And the whole point of the king is to protect the people. Right? As the brothers left, everyone saw many evil omens. Lightning flashed from a cloudless sky, and the earth trembled. The sun was eclipsed, and meteors fell. These are all serious, and they're all happening at once. Jackals yelped from all directions, right? Because generally it's only at night they do that. And the vultures and ravens shrieked from the temples of the gods. Generally, they're never there at all. All these signs portend the destruction of our race, O king. This is the result of your evil desire. So he's saying that Dhritarashtra's evil desires, his attachment to his son and allowing his son to do these things. They all told him beforehand. Before the first gambling match, they said no. Then before the second one, they said no. And, you know, they constantly said no. But he goes with it. So this way, the destruction of the dynasty by a king, that's evil. Even though he didn't technically do anything, but it's by his non-doing that's destroyed. You know, it's just like, let's say the house is on fire and you do nothing. By your doing nothing, the house is destroyed. You didn't start the fire, you could say, but at the same time, you didn't do anything to put it out. Vidura looked at Dhritarashtra, who sat silently wringing his hands, right? So anyone wrings their hands means they're in great anxiety. So he knows it's all. So basically, as was stated by them, I can't remember who mentioned it, enjoy yourself for the next 14 years, because at the end of that, you'll be dead. So enjoy yourself now while you can. Just at that moment, the great Rishi Narada suddenly appeared, surrounded by other powerful sages. He stood before Dhritarashtra and said gravely, "In the 14th year from now, for Duryodhana's fault, Bhima and Arjuna will destroy the Kauravas." Right? He was just thinking this, and then Narad Muni and the sages. It's not even just Narad Muni himself. He came by other powerful sages, not just some other brahmacharis and that, you know, but all those who are very renowned, very powerful persons. After saying this, Narada rose upward into the sky with the other rishis and disappeared. So they didn't do a formal, you know, coming in, being received, and sit down, and okay, what do you want to say? You know, how can we help you? How can we serve you? What instructions do you have? He just appeared. They just suddenly appear. They just, by the mystic power, appear, and then make this statement, you know, no introduction, nothing, and then like that, they just rise up into the sky Because if they just disappeared, then you think, well, did I see that or not? But they rise up into the sky, then you know it was them and that they're powerful. Then you know who else can fly in the sky. And then they disappear. The Kurus were gripped by fear. Narada's words could not prove false. Seeing war was inevitable, Duryodhana, Karna, and Shakuni approached Drona to offer him command of the army. Like, they're already talking about the war. He says, 14 years, Duryodhana, they will be destroyed. So that means they won't be found. You know, they'll survive everything. They won't be found. They will come back. There will be war. Drona said, the Brahmins have said that the Pandavas are of divine origin and cannot be killed. Out of fear of those heroes, however, you have sought my shelter, and I cannot refuse. Destiny is supreme. I shall do everything in my power to protect you, even though the Pandavas are allied with Drupad, whose son was born to kill me. Right? So now you see all these other things falling into play. Is that, you know, he'll do his best, but he already knows it won't happen. Because Drupad's son, then Drishtadyumna's been born to kill him. And Narada Muni just says that they'll all be, he destroy the Kauravas, and so Drona and Bhishma, because they're protecting the throne, that includes them. Like that. Thus I too must be about to die. O Kurus, enjoy while you can. Offer sacrifice and give charity freely. At the end of 14 years, calamity will overtake us all. Okay, so this is, he's saying this now. Like that. He's making the point, and he's the Brahmin. So he teaches the martial arts, but he also involves when they do, you know, priestly duties and that. He does that. Kripa may take the lead because that's there, but he also knows the martial sciences. So they're priests, but they can also fight. Drona spoke in Dhritarashtra's hearing. The old king, he spoke this loud enough so the king could hear. You know, he's saying this all the day. Yes, I'm here. I'll take care. I'll do my best and all that. But, you know, Narada Muni has said this. Drishtadyumna has been, you know, born to kill me. So it looks like I'm also going to die. So in any case, you know, I've already said I'm doing my best. I'm going to die. You guys are also going to die. So therefore, for the next 14 years, give in charity. Do something to benefit your life like that. Because at the end of 14 years, you're all gone. The old king found himself more and more anxious at the thought of the injustice for which he had been responsible, because ultimately he's fully responsible. His son is the nonsense, but he's fully responsible because he allowed his son to do this. Now his son had everything he wanted, but how long would it last? Right? Narada Muni said. Enmity with the Pandavas would be dangerous even for the gods. Right? Dhritarashtra's thoughts went back to the day Duryodhana was born. Why had he not listened to the Vidura's advice, right? Because he was attached, saying, oh, no, and now he's seen it exactly. Even then, his affection for his son had overpowered his judgment and reason. Now he was about to face the consequences for his sentimental weakness. The king called for his secretary, Sanjaya, who, although a charioteer and Shudra by birth, was Vyasadeva's disciple and his own friend. Sanjaya had often consoled Dhritarashtra with his wisdom. Right? So that's the thing in the Vedic, is you might have certain social things that you're not doing, but your position as an individual and how much wisdom and how much respect in that was there wasn't dependent upon your social position. So he may be, you know, the chariot driver, but at the same time, it's because of his wisdom. He's the friend, and being a disciple of Vyasadeva, then he's, you know, basically more respectable than anyone there except for, you know, Bhishma and Drona, like that. And so, yeah, so the Vedic system was, it's, the positions are there because that's how you have to run things, just like you have the boss of the company and you have the supervisor and you have the guy doing the work. It's not that you don't have these divisions in the modern society. It's just that they're not based on birth. They're based on how you behave, how you act. And so then, and in the modern, it's the same thing, but at the same time, you see those born in better positions, they generally do well. Those who are not generally don't, though some of them do, and some of the ones born in better positions don't. So that's just the natural form of it. But in the modern contemporary environment, because it's very popular to break down authority and tradition and religion and that. Then people will say, oh, the Vedic system, and they, everybody's fixed in their position. It's kind of like, what are you talking about? It's the same in the modern. When he arrived, Sanjaya, he saw the king sitting with his head bowed, sighing repeatedly. With a wry smile, the charioteer said, O king, you have now obtained the whole earth with all its wealth. Why then do you grieve? Right? He said with a wry smile. It means it's sarcasm here, you know, because he knows he's done 100% nonsense to get all this. But he's saying, oh, but now you've attained what you wanted and all that. You know, you wanted, your son wanted this, you wanted this. Now you have it. Why are you grieving? You know, what about? Dhritarashtra shook his head. Why do they not have to grieve for who will have to meet? What do they not have to grieve for? Who will have to meet in battle those foremost of fighters, the Pandavas? Why wasn't this thought about in the beginning? It was brought up. Don't cause this thing. Don't create this problem. It'll only create enmity. And he did it once and got away with it and let it go. Then he did it again. So that's the thing, they just don't learn. Sanjaya spoke frankly. This is your own fault. You have created a hostility that will destroy the world. Although Bhishma, Drona, and Vidura condemned Duryodhana's behavior, your wicked son had the beloved and virtuous Draupadi dragged into the assembly hall and cruelly insulted. Why did you not check him? Surely the gods deprived that man of his reason, to whom they have ordained defeat and disgrace. So in other words, they're supposed to be defeated, so this happened. So Duryodhana will look at it, says the gods allowed it to happen, so we're good. It's not sinful. It means if they didn't allow it to happen, yes, that's sinful, and they stopped it. But they allowed it to happen, so we're not sinners. You know? He sees everything in a single light. Strange light means someone who's, you know, developed this, you know, when it's time to be destroyed. When destruction is at hand, his mind is polluted by sin. And evil then appears as good. That which is improper appears proper, while that which is proper appears otherwise. So then the Bhagavad Gita mentions this is the mode of ignorance. Mode of ignorance makes religion look like irreligion, irreligion look like religion. What's good is bad, what's bad is good. Sitting alone with the secretary, Dhritarashtra listened sorrowfully to his words, which he knew were moral and true. Like I said before, he's been properly trained, so he knows all this. He just gets overwhelmed by his attachment. The king held his head as Sanjaya continued. By dragging the chaste and ascetic Panchali into the hall, the Kauravas, wretches that they are, have brought upon themselves wholesale destruction. Right? That's what the Dharmashastra says. Who else but Duryodhana and his wicked allies could have so abused Drupad's divinely born daughter, dragging her into the hall when she was in her season and covered with blood? There she saw her husbands robbed of their wealth, kingdom, and even their dresses, and forced into slavery. Bound by ties of virtue, they were unable to exert their prowess. Right? Means because they were virtuous. If you put this Duryodhana into this situation, he wouldn't be virtuous. But, O king, the time will soon come when we shall see their power displayed. Even though at that time they were unable to exert their prowess, the time will come, as Narada spoke. Dhritarashtra's voice faltered as he replied, O Sanjaya, Draupadi's pained glances can consume the whole world. What chance is there for even one of my sons to survive? All the Kuru women, headed by Gandhari, set up a frightful wail when Dushasana sees Draupadi. So he hears all this. Even now they weep along with my subjects. Right? They're still upset about it. And enraged at Draupadi's persecution, the Brahmins refuse to perform their fire sacrifices. Like, why should you do sacrifices for this guy? You know, it's just like, they're doing things to increase his piety and his like this and that, but he's unworthy of being a king. His son is unworthy of, you know, as a human. Why we should sacrifice for them, you know, like that. We see fearful omens all around the kingdom, the Brahmins are saying. It seems our destruction is near at hand. Surely this is the influence of the all-powerful destiny. So now he's saying, oh, it's destiny doing, what can we do? I couldn't do anything else, it was destiny, so it happened like this. He completely is 100% into free will when he wants to do something, and when it goes wrong, he'll say, oh, it's destiny, what could we do? Well, don't get upset, it was destiny, I couldn't, you know, what can we do about it? We're just like pawns in the hand of destiny. That's because they just, they with their free will, go along with it. After speaking in this way for some time, the king dismissed Sanjaya and sat alone in his chamber throughout the night. The gambling match replayed in his mind again and again. So ending here, then we'll next time see, you know, what happened when the Pandavas left the city. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.